Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
Season 5, Episode 2 of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And today we have part 2 of our interview with Wayne Galash, where we are talking this season about the NABBA Mr. Universe. And the NABBA Mr. Universe, of course, was an iconic competition that took place every fall in London, England, and it featured some of the greats in the sport of bodybuilding because it started in 1950. So the very first winner in 1950 was Steve Reeves, and he was followed by Reg Park, and Bill Pearl won 4 NABBA Mr. Universes. I think Reg Park won 3 NABBA Mr. Universes, and of course, this was the contest that Arnold Schwarzenegger won at 20 years old, being the youngest Mr. Universe winner ever. And it just goes on and on. Frank Zane, Bill Pearl, of course, Chris Dickerson, Boyer Coe, and then moving on into the 70s, Bertle Fox, Serge Nubret. The winners were just unbelievable. And this contest started before the IFBB really got going. So a lot of the great bodybuilders from America would go over every year to compete in the NABBA Mr. Universe. So it was really a great historic competition that featured a lot of great bodybuilders. So I thought it deserved its own season right here on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. So we are starting again with part 2 of our interview with Wayne Galash. And Wayne, as I mentioned last week when we did an interview with him, he has been around forever. I mean, he was there in 1970 at the NABBA Universe, and he filmed that. Wayne had the foresight to film a lot of these competitions and also film a lot of these great bodybuilders doing their posing routines or competing or doing just photo shoots for him or videos for him. And so he's got these great bodybuilders on film. And if it wasn't for Wayne, we wouldn't have that. All we would see is still photos of those great legendary bodybuilders like Bill Pearl and Arnold and Frank Zane and Sergio. So thank God Wayne Galash was there. And I want to mention right off the bat, he has a website at gmv.com.au because he's in Australia. So again, that's gmv.com.au. And he sells a 60-year anniversary tape of the NABBA Universe where he interviews some of the great promoters and the people who have been around in that contest forever. So you want to check that out. Check out his website if you're looking for some great videos. Well, he used to have videos and then they went to DVDs. Now he has downloads because that's what's popular and that's what everybody uses. So you can get downloads from his website. So give his site a check out at gmv.com.au and you're not going to believe some of the stuff that's on there. I started buying videos. Actually, it wasn't even videos back then. It was Super 8 movies, Super 8 millimeter movies of Arnold and Franco posing in Australia in 1972. And I bought them at 20 years old. So that's how long I've been a fan of Wayne's work. So check that out. And we got a great interview coming up with Wayne. As I mentioned, we are brought to you by Redcon One. And at Redcon One, everyone wants to be a champion. Everybody wants to be the best. At Redcon One, they believe in working hard to achieve your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or running a 6-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. They have a premier clinically dosed pre-workout called Total War that is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And then after the workout, you can fuel your body with the revolutionary MRE. It is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs, and carbs coming from sweet potatoes and oats, and it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. It's the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And you can enter the discount code LEGENDS to get a 15% discount off your order at Redcon One because you listen to this show, the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And we're also brought to you by Old School Labs. I have been with Old School Labs now for several years. This is a supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements to the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They are the brand that I used to win the Masters Natural Mr. Universe contest back in 2012. And they're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the new 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champion. And they also sponsor Sergio Oliva Jr. And they just recently joined forces with Samir Benoit, 1983 Mr. Olympia. They've got a great lineup. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 when you go to oldschoollabs.com and you'll get 12% off your order. They also have a new protein powder out called Brawn Protein. So you want to check that out. I've been taking that for the last couple of months now. I love it. It's made with whole food protein sources like eggs, beef, and milk. So check out Brawn Protein when you go to oldschoollabs.com. And you, as I said, use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you'll get 12% off your order. And they are at the LA Fit Expo this weekend out in Los Angeles, which is the first big expo of the year, the first big expo of 2018. And I think they're all out there. Breon Ansley's out there, and Samir was out there, and I think Sergio Oliva Jr. is out there because they all live in California, of course. So if you are in the area and you catch this podcast in time, I hope you guys get to check out the LA Fit Expo. All right. As I mentioned, we got Wayne Galash on the interview today, and this is going to be part two of our interview. We're going to pick up with talking about the 1971 Mr. Universe, and this was a classic competition because it was the last contest that Bill Pearl entered. This was Bill Pearl's fourth Mr. Universe win, and he beat out Sergio Oliva and Reg Park. And Bill did it at 41 years old. He was in the best shape of his life at 41 years old. And so we go all the way up until the 1975 Mr. Universe contest. So we've got a lot of great competitors and a lot of great contests to talk about. And this contest is filled with history. We're probably going to have a part three with Wayne later on in the season where we can talk about the contest from 75 up until like 1990 when we had a lot more competitors coming in like Tim Belknap and Lance Dreher and Victor Terra and Serge Noubre and Tony Emmett and Bertle Fox and Dave Johns, a lot of great competitors, Tony Pearson. So we got a lot more to talk about with Wayne about the history of bodybuilding. And I hope you guys enjoyed that interview last week. I thought it was a great interview because I don't think there's ever been an interview done where you go, we went year by year from 1950 all the way up to 1970, which was Arnold's last Mr. Universe win over at NABBA. And we just talked about every single winner. So I thought it was a lot of great history. May have been before a lot of your time, but it's a great learning lesson, a great history lesson on what went on in the NABBA universe before the IFBB really got started. All right. And as I mentioned before, I hate to repeat myself, but I do have a couple of books for sale. They are on Amazon.com, Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends, Volume 1, which covers the 1970 competitions between Arnold and Sergio and Frank Zane's first Mr. Olympia win. Danny Padilla is in the book and Tony Pearson is in the book, Cal Scalak. So we got a lot of great stories in there. I've got a whole chapter in there about Sergio Oliva and his whole life. So you can check that out at Amazon.com. And you can also check out my other new book, which is the MP6 Workout. And this is a workout routine that focuses on power and mass. And each cycle is 6 weeks long. So I have all the exercises all detailed in there along with the routines. So check that out also on Amazon.com. And if you want to purchase either of these books from me personally, you can just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. I'm helping a lot of guys out here in Tampa, Florida, and getting them in shape with their training and nutrition programs. And I want to mention my friend Eric Marino, who actually works at Powerhouse Gym. And Eric started his diet, I think, the middle of November. So in the last 8 weeks, Eric has lost 24 pounds and 5 inches off his waist. So congratulations to Eric. He dieted over Thanksgiving. He dieted over Christmas. He dieted over New Year's. He stuck with his diet, and his dedication is really paying off. The guy is making amazing progress in only 8 weeks. So if you guys want to get some similar progress going for the new year, just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com, and I'll send you out a free questionnaire. And you can fill it out, and I can set up a training and nutrition program for you as well. And I also want to mention we're brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. Our wide range of services ensure that you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. They also offer very competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So those are just a few reasons to give them a call. Call them for more information and experience firsthand what sets them apart from the rest. They have a brand new office out here in Tampa, Florida. It's beautiful. So call Jeff at 813-922-8939. If you prefer to email them, you can email them at info@flalternativemeds.com. And again, that number is 813-922-8939. They will work with anybody in the United States, even if you're not in the Florida area. If you want to email them, just email them at info@flalternativemeds.com. All right. So thanks to all our sponsors, Florida Alternative Medicine, Redcon One, and Old School Labs for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And here is part two of our interview with Wayne Galash, where we talk about the NABBA Mr. Universe going from 1971 to 1975. Enjoy. Well, let's talk about the 1971 universe, which another one was another fantastic competition, particularly because Bill Pearl won. That was his last competition ever, and yeah, he won his, right. His fourth Mr. Universe. And what was notable about that was he did it at the age of 41. And from the story that I heard, I wasn't around back then. I wasn't following the sport, but I believe he wrote an article for Iron Man magazine and a year before, and he challenged all the bodybuilders to compete in that contest against him, saying that this was going to be his last contest. And he put it out there saying, if you want to beat me, go to the NABBA Universe in 1971.
Yeah, that's true. I read that, or I remember that. And that was another year that I knew I had to be there because it was going to be Bill's last contest. There was a possibility that Arnold would be there. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I knew Sergio was going to be there till I actually got there. So what a contest that was. And I can remember sitting and filming from right behind the judges there. And when those guys walked out on stage, Bill Pearl and Sergio in particular, and of course Reg Park was there, it was just an awesome sight. And again, it was one of those memories that will be in my mind forever.
Now, that was the first time you ever saw Bill Pearl and Sergio, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, it was the first time.
Yeah. Now, there's been a lot of controversy about that because a lot of people feel that Sergio should have won, probably in his prime then in 1971. He was already a three-time Mr. Olympia winner. But you feel the decision was right, correct?
I feel it was right based on the condition that both men presented on the day. Mm-hmm. And Sergio was definitely a little off. He was soft. He was a little bit carrying too much fluid. And as my guess, I can't remember whether he'd just arrived before the contest, but I suspect that he'd arrived just before the contest and he was carrying quite a lot of fluid. And although he had this wonderful shape and size, he just didn't have the condition on the day. And I can remember very clearly veins popping out on Bill Pearl's forearms. He was hard, vascular, tight, right at his peak. And it was good enough for him to quite clearly be the best on the day.
Did Bill get to London before Sergio? Was he there for a while?
I'm pretty sure he was, if my memory's correct. And he was well acclimatized for the travel from the West Coast, probably California, to USA, whereas Sergio, well, it might have been his first time over there, not sure, but I think he'd come too close to the contest and it cost him in his condition because a week later, Sergio looked a large percentage better than he looked in London on that particular Universe Saturday.
Okay. And then Bill had to feel pretty comfortable because this was his fourth Mr. Universe win. I think he had competed in it like five times, so he had to pretty comfortable with the NABBA judges, and I'm sure he was regarded as a legend at that point.
He was. And again, Bill had great charisma too in his stage presence, and he came out on stage and he was acting as and looking like a winner, and that's exactly how the judges saw it. And now I was very comfortable with that decision. I mean, I like both of the guys greatly as great competitors and great champions, But on the day, Bill Pearl was the better man. Maybe if it had taken place a week later, the result may have been quite different, but that was the way I saw it. Some people suggested that Bill Pearl was a great friend of Nava, and that's why he won. So that's, of course, rubbish. He won because he was the best there on the day. In side-by-side comparisons and in everything he did, he was the winner.
Yeah. That was another... I've heard from people who saw Bill Pearl, like people who saw him guest pose or people who saw him compete, that to see him in person was really a sight to see. I mean, they said he looked great in pictures, but when you saw him in person, just the way he moved and his raw magnetism and his, you know, the size of him and everything, it was really, it didn't convey through pictures. You know, you really had to see him in person.
That's true, yes. He had something special about him on stage. It's hard to describe it in words, but the easiest way is to say he was a true champion on stage. When he posed, he dominated the stage. Mm-hmm. And when he stood in the lineup, he just stood out above all the others that were standing on either side of him.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a rare characteristic that he possessed, and I'm trying to think of anybody that's like that today. Maybe perhaps when Ronnie Coleman used to stand in the lineup in the Olympia in his heyday, it was a little bit like that you were looking at the best, and he knew it, and we knew it, and the judges knew it.
Yeah, and Bill was a great poser too, right?
Yes, he was. He moved beautifully on stage. He was smooth. He was dynamic, and his poses were Herculean, and he had a marvelous, a great helper in his corner in Leo Stern.
Yeah.
And Leo used to help every aspect of Bill in his preparation, his career, his presentation, diet, and maybe probably even advised him in his training to a degree. So they made a great team, and Leo was always there behind Bill, supporting him and helping him. And after that contest, I was invited by Bill back to his room. He signed my program, and we celebrated together after that victory. Wow. Bill knew me because we had been in contact for years, and I used to sell his books and stuff like that. So it was the first time I met him, and it was quite an occasion to go back to his room afterwards when he had made this great victory.
Yeah, and for those people that have never met Bill Pearl, I mean, talk about a great gentleman, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And he came to Australia later on, I think it was about 1983, and he put on posing and a seminar for me here in Adelaide. Mm-hmm. And would have been the last time I saw him pose. I've seen him several times, of course, since then.
And how about Sergio? What were your impressions of Sergio? Because that was the first time you ever saw him.
Yeah, well, I was impressed with Sergio for his size, his tiny waist, his shape, and the only thing that just, well, slightly disappointed me on that day was that he wasn't as hard as he needed to be a great champion, and I'm sure it was to do with his flight from USA, and he just hadn't had time to shed fluid and to be at his absolute best. But he was at his best a week later when I saw him in Paris. And I would have not liked to have been a judge if Sergio was able to compete against Arnold in the 1971 Mr. Olympia. That would have been a hell of a hard decision between those two because they were both magnificent on that day.
So Sergio just lost the fluid, the water, probably from the flight.
I would say so, and I'd say that he just tightened everything up in that seven-day period, and then in Paris, of course, he was only allowed to guest pose at that Olympia contest.
Yeah, what a shame. Too bad they wouldn't allow him and Arnold to go against each other. That would have been great.
Yes, that would have been one of the greatest confrontations of all time.
Yeah.
And but that did happen a year later in Essen in Germany in 1972, and Arnold came out, I understand, a very narrow winner in that particular contest.
Yeah. And that 71 Olympia, too, you said you were there, right?
I was there. I was filming it, yeah.
And you said it was packed, right? The whole auditorium was crowded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember people standing around the walls. It was so packed, they even let people come in and stand. Whereas today, they'd probably not allow you to stand in the aisles, but they did allow it back then in Paris in 1971.
Yeah. So you saw Bill Pearl win the Universe, and then you saw Arnold a week later win the Olympia. Now, if Arnold would have been allowed to compete in the Universe that year because Weider told him he couldn't compete, do you think Arnold would have beat Bill Pearl?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that question. Well, it would have been so close. I suspect that possibly because of the age difference, that the being the younger man might have given Arnold the edge, and he could well have won that based on the condition I saw him in Paris a week later. But it's really hard to say what the judges would have thought with them side by side in comparisons, doing the things the judges ask. But just thinking about it, the only difference I could think would be quite often two great physiques side by side, sometimes the younger guy is going to have an edge. And so that would have been maybe the case with Arnold if he had been in that 71 NABBA Universe.
So 71 was really like the year that could have been great. You know, if you could have had Arnold versus Bill Pearl, and then you could have had Sergio versus Arnold a week later.
Yeah, but it just wasn't to be. So we'll never know. So I won't say that Bill Pearl wouldn't have beaten Arnold, but I'll put it this way. I wouldn't have been surprised if maybe Arnold might have narrowly edged out Bill Pearl in the 71 NABBA because of their age difference and the fact that Arnold was still improving and still rising as a star and a champion. Bill Pearl was probably at his absolute peak, and maybe even he might have looked a little bit better a year or so before that. I just couldn't say.
Yeah, and Arnold looked absolutely huge that year in 71. From the pictures and the video that you took, I mean, even his legs were really big.
Yeah, he was. He was huge. And as I said, in Paris, I would have loved to have seen him side by side with Sergio, but they didn't allow that to happen. And they just came on stage quite separately and did their posing routine. And then Arnold came back later and was presented with his check, which I think was $1,000.
Yeah. How about Frank Zane in the pro division of the Universe that year? Because he won the short class after winning the amateur the year before, and then he lost to Bill Pearl. How did Frank look?
Okay, well, Frank looked very good. And Frank has pointed out, I don't know if you've read this, that they didn't compare him with Bill Pearl for the overall pro title.
Yeah,
they just decided that it was a no contest, and Bill Pearl was just later on awarded the overall title. And I know that Frank's disappointed about that because he didn't get a chance to stand side by side for an overall judging.
Yeah.
Now, whether they accidentally overlooked it or whether they just felt that Bill Pearl was so superior that they didn't need to do it, I'll never know. But that was very rare that they didn't have the two class winners side by side for a pose down or a judging, because they just went straight to Bill Pearl being announced as the winner, or the overall winner, if you want to say the overall, because that's how it turned out.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Frank Zane was in any way cheated out of the title because he wasn't the best man in the pro division. That was clearly Bill Pearl.
Yeah, Pearl was in a class by himself. I also want to mention the amateur division that year because it was very competitive. Chris Dickerson came back again and won the short class for the second year in a row. Albert Beckles won the medium class finally after taking second so many years. And Ken Waller won the tall class and the overall. So that was kind of surprising. Ken Waller beat out both Albert Beckles and Chris Dickerson.
Yeah, Ken Waller, I remember he had great leg development and great everything. He just looked tremendous on that particular year. Very deserving winner, posed very well, acted in a very professional manner. He was competing in an amateurs division, but he looked like a professional and acted like one. And I remember before the event, he's reported as saying to Bill Pearl, "Oh, you'll never win your class, you're too old," or something like that.
Really?
And they ended up standing side by side at the contest, both as the winners of the amateur and pro division.
Wow.
And smiling and shaking hands and so on. So that's something that happened before. And then at the end of the event, there was USA with the two winners, amateur and pro.
Yeah, I was, you know, I sort of forgot about that because you always think about 1971, you always think about Bill Pearl beating Sergio. But when I was looking back, when I was making my notes here, you always think of Ken Waller as an IFBB guy, but he did compete in the AAU America several times, and then he did win that Mr. Universe in the amateur division, and he beat quite a lineup, a lot of great bodybuilders.
Yeah, Ken Waller was maybe slightly underrated because he had a truly great physique.
Yeah.
And we got to see a little bit of him in Pumping Iron from 1975.
Right. Another interesting note about 71 was the Mr. America winner that year, Casey Viador, did not compete. And that would have been really interesting if he would have came over and competed against Ken Waller and Beckles and Dickerson.
Yes, yes. Casey left it to a little bit later, didn't he, to compete in the Navy Universe?
Yeah, he didn't come back till 78, so that would have been great to see a 19-year-old Casey Viator competing in the Universe that year.
Yeah, unfortunately, that just didn't happen, but that would have been something special, too.
Yeah. All right, now we go to 1972, and I guess it was kind of a, in a way, sort of a, in the amateur division, a disappointment a little bit, because what's interesting, Wayne, is that the IFBB now was really taking off, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think by the early 70s, it was starting to make more of an impact? They had a Mr. America crown. They had a Mr. World. They had a Mr. Universe. And the Mr. Olympia, I think, was starting to gain some more traction. So maybe you didn't have quite as many people going to the Universe as, you know, the years before that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. 1972... The IFBB competition was really starting to bite and starting to hurt the Navy Universe, I would say in particular in those amateur classes. And that gave a chance to people such as, you've got Elias Petzus from South Africa.
Yeah.
A true great physique, but again, I'm not sure who were the other people that he defeated, but I recall he was from the short class and then he won that and won the overall title.
Yeah, Lars Lund from Norway was the medium class winner, and Paul Grant, of course, who we all know is from Wales, he won the tall class. But Elias Petzus, as you mentioned, won the overall, and he's not really a famous bodybuilder, so it seemed like the amateur division that year wasn't as strong as it was before.
That's absolutely correct. And then you still had an IFBB guy with Frank Zane taking out the professional. And I was judging that year in 1972, and I can remember.
Oh, you were judging? Okay.
Yeah, I was judging in 72, and I judged in the early 70s. And I remember seeing Frank Zane up close, and again, thinking what a clear winner he was. Again, it was just perfection in all areas that you're judging from, you know, his symmetry, his condition, his posing was just unbelievable, skin tone, tan. You know, he had the perfect package.
Wow.
So I thought he was a very clear winner of the pro class in 1972. And just prior to going to the theatre, we had done a film and photo shoot in a park on the way to the contest, and that's because it had been judged the day before. But that sort of thing would never happen today. You can't imagine Phil Heath doing a photo shoot on his way to the finals of the Olympia. It just wouldn't happen, would it?
Right. Now, was that before the prejudging or for the finals?
No, this was before the finals, This was on the Saturday afternoon. We did the shoot late morning in Hyde Park Square in London, and then we got a taxi together and we went off to the contest. And then two hours later, Frank was announced the pro winner.
Wow.
So that's how that day actually happened.
So how would you compare Zane's physique in 72 compared to 1970 when he won the amateur?
Oh, that's easy to answer. He just had more definition. He'd honed the physique down just tighter, better. It's hard to say if he had more size, but because of his condition, he appeared to be a little bit bigger. Midsection was good. Everything was just as perfect as it could be. And so he just looked like an updated version of the 1970 version and just improved all over.
Wow. And he beat a tough lineup. He beat Boyer Coe in second, and Dennis Tinerino won the tall class. So that was a good professional lineup that year.
He beat some really outstanding champions and multi-title winners and those other two guys. But Frank just had perfection on the day in every area that you can think of. And that's how he came out on top.
And what did he say about the film, Wayne, when you were filming him in the park?
Right. He said to me, "How long do you want me to pose?" And I said, "Can you do your posing routine for me?" So I said, "Well, I'm putting in a new roll of film, and it runs about 3.5 minutes. He said, "That's all right. I'll pose for 3.5 minutes. And he did without any hesitation or without any obviously duplicating any movement or pose. He just posed continuously with this beautiful routine, nonstop, 3.5 minutes. And then at the end, he said to me, "Was that okay?" I said, "That was more than okay. That was amazing."
Right.
And then we did photographs, and then I remember one of them was, of course, on the cover of Iron Man magazine.
Yeah.
And it was just a wonderful shoot that we had. Probably only took about half an hour, and then we were on our way off to the theatre for the finals of that competition, because at that stage we didn't know for sure that he was the pro winner. But I mean, I wasn't at all surprised because I knew he was the best man at prejudging.
Yeah, that's an amazing insight when you think about how people pose today, and most of them can't even do a 1 minute posing routine. And here's Frank Zane posing for 3.5 minutes effortlessly, you know, like it's nothing. I mean, you could imagine how much practice he must have put into his posing over the years, you know.
There's one more comment I must make about that posing routine. Nowadays, when a lot of the guys pose, they show a lot of tension in their faces, and they pull faces. Frank posed with a perfectly composed, calm, natural face expression without any strain or tension. And not many of the top guys can pose like that today because they let the tension come through into their face that they're putting into their muscles.
Right.
And to me, that detracts from a great posing routine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really amazing how it's changed over the years. Who else did you film in that park, Wayne?
Well, there was the three Japanese guys, which we'll talk about next time.
Okay.
I think that was about 1976. Is that when Sugita won? What year?
Yeah,
76. Yeah, they were filmed in that same park.
Okay.
Albert Beckles was filmed there, and Paul Grant. Then there were a number of Europeans. Ludwig Ingebrigtsen was another one from Norway, and he's passed away now. So I really need to do a bit of a list, and I'll tell you who was filmed in that famous park.
Yeah.
Called it was Hyde Park Square in London, and it was a private park where you had to have a key to get in.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't just open to the public, it was sort of private.
Huh.
You had to be a member with a key to get in there. But if I couldn't borrow a key, we would just jump over the fence and go in there and do our filming and never had a problem.
Huh. I also want to mention, in 72, you filmed Sergio after the Essen Mr. Olympia, correct?
Yes, that's right. That that was probably later in September, I'm guessing now, without looking up the date. And Wag Bennett set that up for me. And so I filmed Sergio. He had just arrived back in London from Essen, and he was pretty down and a bit depressed because he'd been narrowly beaten by Arnold. But he agreed to go out and do that famous shoot with me, which other people say is famous because they just love it.
Yeah.
And Sergio was looking absolutely incredible at that particular time with his small waist, and he had good condition. He was a freak, because when I first saw him, I could not believe the tiny waist and the massively wide shoulders. That was the thing that hit me first.
Yeah.
And then there was the giant arms and delts and lat spread. He was just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to describe how Sergio looked to people who never saw him, and it was just amazing to see in person, because, like you said, all the... Yeah. Small waist and the massive, massive body parts combined with that small waist. It was just freaky.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. I feel sorry for people that didn't ever see him at his peak.
Yeah. And that was probably the best he ever looked, right?
I believe it was. Other people say it was the best he ever looked in that particular time. And that was 1972. So 1972 was probably the greatest year, I would think, of my filming career, because I worked with Frank Zane, Sergio, and Arnold and Franco all in that same year.
Wow, oh, that's right. That's when you filmed Arnold and Franco in 72 by the pool. in Australia.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was a very special year.
Yeah, for sure. I also want to mention in that 72 amateur division, Bill Grant was in that contest. He took third place in the medium class, and Lou Ferrigno himself was in the tall class, and he was second to Paul Grant.
Yes, well, Lou was still coming up, in my opinion. When I say coming up, he didn't quite have the polish on his physique that he had a year or so later.
Yeah.
And these other guys were able to finish in front of Lou, but Lou was certainly a great champion.
Yeah.
And in 1973, he looked a heck of a lot better than he looked in 72. Paul Grant, he just maybe lacked a little bit of width, and that stopped him taking more top titles.
Mm-hmm.
And had a wonderful physique. He had great condition. He was always rock hard. And, of course, again, we lost him too young because he passed away a few years back. I used to know Paul Grant extremely well.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
And Bill Grant, well, this was the early part of his NABBA career because he came back to the NABBA universe on a number of occasions.
Uh-huh. And then he, of course, became famous competing as an IFBB competitor.
Yeah. He competed for many years, and I know he's still in pretty good shape today.
Yeah, he's in great shape. Yeah, he's in his 70s, I believe.
Yeah. I think you've done an interview. Yes, you've done an interview with him.
Yeah, I've done a couple interviews with him. He's got a lot of energy. Yes. Mr. Energy.
Yes, yeah. I remember those very clearly.
All right, so let's move over to 1973, Wayne. And Chris Dickerson wins finally the overall at the amateur division after taking first place in his class for a couple of years. Boyer Coe wins the pro division.
Yes, it was another big year for USA. These were still the years when USA was the dominant power in the NABBA universe. That's something that needs to be said.
Yeah.
They did dominate for many years, both with first and second placings and with overall titles. And they were a very powerful force at the universe, in particular right through up until, well, I'm looking at the results probably up until you can say the mid-70s. And then the IFBB started to have an influence to cause some of the top Americans to drop off from competing. So right up till at least 75, there, where you've got Boyer Coe winning it in the pro. America dominated from pretty much from the beginning of the Bill Pearl era and up to, say, 75.
I remember seeing pictures of Boyer and Chris standing on the podium when they both won that year, and they were both in outstanding shape, right?
They were in incredible shape. They were ripped. Again, they had everything, the best they could possibly have prepared on the day, and that's why they stood out as champions, and very worthy champions they were too.
Yeah, and everybody always mentions Boyer's arms, but he also had some pretty incredible leg development, didn't he?
Yeah. The arms were great, the legs were great, he had a great back shot, twisting pose.
Yeah.
And about the only thing that he didn't do was the six-pack pose, but he had everything else pretty good.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw Boyer, I saw him at a seminar, I think it was in 1980, right after the Mr. Olympia that year. And at the end of the seminar, he came out, and I think they tried to make some kind of posing light, you know, in the gym, because it was in a gym. And I was blown away by his legs. I never thought his legs looked that good when I saw pictures of him. But he had these great calves, and even his thighs, even though they were a little narrow, were so hard and separated, they really looked outstanding.
Yes, well, he used to dominate at the NABBA universe, and he was a great champion and a great favorite of the audiences. Each time when he competed, I always remember he had a fantastic fan base.
Yeah.
They'd love to see him hit those bicep shots.
And he was a great poser. When he really came alive when he posed, right? I mean, he looked pretty good relaxed, but when he posed, he really, his physique exploded.
Yeah, he had a unique routine and he had a special style that was different to anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had a very good package and he was at the top for many years.
And how did Dickerson look that year? Was he much improved from the years before?
Yes, I remember he was harder, more defined. He left nothing to chance. And he came in his absolute best condition. I'm not sure that he ever looked much better than he looked then. I know he was still competing in 1980 and 1982, but I think that as good as he ever looked was right back then in the earlier 70s. And then he just held on to his condition, shape, size through many years. But I think that he definitely looked a little bit crisper, sharper, more impressive at this time when he was winning these NABBA titles.
Yeah, I did an interview with Chris, and he won his class in 70 and 71, and then he said he took 72 off because he felt like he needed to make improvements to his physique. And I asked him about 73 when he finally won, and he said, you know, he thought he looked outstanding. His opinion was he really felt like his physique really came into its own in 73 because of that year off, he really made those improvements.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that because he was definitely well improved and he was harder, just more impressive all over.
And Roy Duvall won the medium class and Paul Grant again won the tall class in the amateur division that year.
Yeah.
And Dennis Tinerino won the tall class in the pro division.
Yes, Dennis and Boyer Coe were up against each other a lot throughout their NABBA careers, and they were great rivals and quite different styles of physique. And Dennis was, of course, a taller, leaner type of physique, and Boyer Coe was more of a Herculean type of physique.
Yeah, going all the way back to when they were teenagers, they used to compete against each other.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's go to 74, Wayne, and Roy Duvall won the amateur universe after winning his class the year before, and Chris Dickerson goes up to the pros, and he wins the pro division over Boyer Coe.
Yeah. Well, Chris got the double there with consecutive overall titles in consecutive years, so he did very well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to describe how did he beat Boyer Coe. Well, it must have been exceedingly close because they both looked pretty much near perfection. Maybe the judges just preferred the style and charisma from Chris that year, his calves. Boyer Coe had great legs. Boyer Coe had better arms than Chris Dickerson.
Yeah.
And Chris just had an overall package that was always just grabbed your attention. And he always looked like a winner when he walked on stage. And Boyer Coe, well, he had a special charisma as well. So that would have been a very close decision, and Chris came out in front.
Were you judging that year, Wayne?
Yes, I was judging that year. Okay. Whether I was judging amateur or pro division, I'd have to check my notes because I honestly can't remember. Because you usually didn't judge the whole contest. You did amateurs or pro. And so I judged in both divisions in the 70s.
Okay. In the amateur division, Roy Duvall won the overall. Ron Thompson, who was that year's Mr. America winner, got second to Roy. And Ian Lawrence won the short class, and Chen Wint won the tall class.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ron Thompson was an amazing physique, I thought.
Yeah.
I think he was somewhat unknown in England, and I think that perhaps he got a little bit overlooked. I thought he could win his class when I saw them work out on stage, but it didn't turn out that way. And I think Ron was pretty disappointed too with his placing. That's the feeling I got at the end of the event.
Yeah, Ron's a Mr. America winner, but he's not really talked about as one of the more famous Mr. Americas. But I remember he was a little bit before my time, a couple of years before I really got into the sport. But I remember seeing pictures of him, and he really had a complete physique. He had good size. And just everything was developed. He really had a great physique.
He did. Maybe the only thing that he might have lacked a bit in England was he didn't have a vibrant personality that just reached out and grabbed the judges.
Yeah.
And he was a quiet sort of a guy. And I think that he was maybe a little bit unlucky with his placings because I had him higher than what he received. And that was it. I'm not sure if I ever saw him again after that contest.
How did Roy Duvall look? Because I saw him win the Mr. Universe in 1979 in the middleweight class, and I thought he had an outstanding physique.
Yes, he had a fantastic upper body in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a quiet guy. We're still friends through Facebook, and he's still hanging in there, and I understand he's still looking pretty good.
Oh, really?
He was a guy that was in Napa for many, many years, always placed high, and he had some really big victories in his career. Again, he was a consistent bodybuilder, always looked good, looked in shape.
Okay. All right, so let's go to 1975, and in the Mr. America that year, in the AU Mr. America, Dale Adrian was the winner. But in the universe, Ian Lawrence won the overall in the amateur division.
Yeah, that's right. I remember Dale Adrian coming out on stage. Now, Dale Adrian might possibly, I assume he's still alive and doing well, and he might be watching this one day. So I can tell him now that when he walked out on stage in his class, I thought that he was going to be the winner. Partly because he was the current Mr. America, partly because he looked absolutely fantastic, but the judges at that time didn't see it the same way. I'm not sure that he had any particular weaknesses. I thought he looked outstanding, but he didn't win his class, and I was just a little bit surprised. Was that the class that Ian Lawrence won, or was that a different class?
That was the medium class, and Kazuo Sudo was the winner in the medium class.
Okay. Well, Sudo was so outstanding, and he was a unique physique that absolutely grabbed the judges' attention. There was something about him that was very special. Dale was good, but he didn't grab the judges' attention, and so he didn't win his class, and that's how it ended up.
Describe Kazuo Sudo, because I remember seeing pictures of him. He almost reminded me of Serge Nubre type physique, very small waist, and like you said, he had an outstanding physique.
Yes, that's correct. And also he had a sort of a charisma about him that was special. And he was like a little bit of a Frank Zane type about him.
Yeah.
He was very elegant on stage. He looked and moved gracefully. He had the small waist, the beautiful posing. And, of course, he didn't speak English. So, he was very special.
Was he unknown to the judges then? I mean, was that like the first time anyone had ever seen him?
I would say he was unknown. Yes, I would.
Yeah, I remember when I saw the magazines of him, I was like, wow, this guy looks amazing. And I had never seen him before either.
Yeah. Now, he came out of the blue, I would say, and was quite unknown. And the judges just loved him.
Now, what about Ian Lawrence? Ian Lawrence won the short class, and he won the overall.
Well, Ian Lawrence was a Herculean physique, and his physique was sort of, what would you call it? It was a brutal physique, big arms and shoulders, rock-hard muscularity. Mm-hmm. He was like a sort of a mini Dorian Yates.
Okay.
Came from that sort of a mold, and he had great presence on stage. The judges loved him. The audience loved him. He's a good guy. I'm still in touch with him today. And he had enough there on the day to get the nod from the judges, and he took out the overall title. And it did surprise a few people at the time. But in those days, it didn't matter whether you were short or tall. You had a good chance for winning the overall. And that's what he did. He took out the overall.
Was he from England, Wayne?
He lived in Scotland, and he lived
Scotland,
near the...
Right.
Yeah, he lived in the south of Scotland, I believe. It was just near the English border, not too far north of the border, and Scottish, and he still comes to the events, and I think he's probably still a NABBA area representative, or he certainly was a couple of years ago, so he's still around about the sport.
Okay. Yeah, that was what was so great about that NABBA Mr. Universe was you would get competitors from all over the world. It wasn't just America.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't even just England. I mean, you get, like, you had this Kazuo Sudo from Japan, Ian Lawrence from Scotland, so you would get bodybuilders from all over.
And also the judges were from all around the world, so it was very good judging, very fair, very balanced, and NABBA has always been noted for and famous for its very fair, honest judging.
Yeah, that's true. There wasn't really too many controversial calls, and it didn't seem like politics really played a part with the NABBA universe.
That's right. It didn't really matter where you came from. If you were good enough, you won. That's how it should be.
And going back to 71, I mean, I had read, I don't know who said this, but I think it was Leo Stern was telling Joe Weider. I think they saw Bill Pearl pose somewhere, guest pose, and Leo Stern told Joe Weider, he said, he's going to beat your boy Arnold at the Universe. And that's when Joe supposedly told Arnold, you can't compete in the Universe this year. We got our new rules, and you can't compete, because he was afraid that Bill Pearl was going to beat him and that it was going to be judged fairly. But I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, because I think Arnold was obviously a favorite with the NABBA judges also, because he had won the Mr. Universe five times or four times.
Yeah. Yes, that's a question we'll never know. But I heard that same story about Bill Pearl and Leo Stern.
Yeah.
And Joe, I heard that story, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's true.
Yeah. Also with 75, I want to mention Steve Mihalik, who was the 1972 AAU Mr. America. He came back and he won the tall class. How did he look?
Well, again, he was amazing. When I saw him winning that class, I thought he is the overall winner.
Yeah.
He was a good-looking guy, tall, very impressive, posed well, great arms, great upper body. His legs weren't too bad, but it just didn't work out for him. And I don't think he came back to the Universe again, because I felt that even though he didn't win the overall, I thought he definitely had the potential and the ability to win it.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of guys like that over the years. I felt that if they'd come again the next year, they probably would have taken it, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I know he got into a really bad car accident where I think a truck drove over his car.
And, that's right, yeah.
It really messed him up for many years, and then I think he came back as a pro in the IFBB. But, I always heard great things about Steve. I mean, I heard that, you know, when he was in shape, he looked just absolutely amazing, and you really have to see him to believe him.
And he did look amazing at the Universe, but unfortunately his career at the Universe was very brief, and we didn't get to see, I don't think he came back again, as you said, and he had his personal problems, and so he had to either win it on that day, and it wasn't to be.
Yeah. And then in the pro division, Boyerko wins again. So this was, I think, his third Mr. NABBA Universe title. He won as an amateur in 69, and then he won 73 and 75. And he beat out Chet Yorton in the tall class. So Chet Yorton came back after all those years.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that year well. I worked with Chet Yorton on the day after the contest with the filming, his posing, and photography. And I remember one of those photos, I think it made the cover of Iron Man magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And Chet was pretty disappointed that he didn't win overall. I thought it was very close between him and Boyerko, very close. But Boyer got the nod from the judges in the overall, so Chet had to settle for just being a class winner in the pro, but he looked absolutely outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I remember he had great legs, great everything. And for Boyko, maybe he just had a little bit more charisma and definition perhaps on the day, and the judges went for him in the overall.
Do you know how old Chet was back then in 1975? He had to be getting up there, right?
Well, I would guess. Mid-30s to early 30s would be my feeling.
Oh, okay.
And I saw Chet in 2010 in Newark, and he got an award at the AOBS.
Yeah,
and the painting they gave him was based on my cover photograph of him on the Iron Man magazine.
Oh, okay, I remember that picture. That's the one where he's doing the pose like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. And so we had a good chat about the old days, and it was good to see him still looking good, and he was looking in great shape too.
Yeah. So that picture from Iron Man on the cover, that was from 75. That was your picture.
Yeah, that was my picture when he won his class at the Universe and lost the overall. It was that event.
Yeah, he was in outstanding shape for that contest.
Yeah, he was. I felt a bit disappointed for him that he didn't get the overall title. No disrespect to Boyerko.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it was a very tight decision, and it went Boyer's way, because maybe he just had a little bit more of what the judges were looking for, and that's how it worked out.
Okay. All right, Wayne. Well, we covered, I think, 25 years so far of the NABBA universe. So
that was pretty good. And we can get stuck into the rest of them from 1976 onwards when we chat. And there are some more great USA champions that we'll be talking about in the next session, including Victor Terra and other people as well.
Okay. And before we go, Wayne, I want you to mention your website and how you have a lot of these competitions on film, including you have the 50th anniversary, correct?
Yes, the 50th anniversary, I made a special documentary for that, and they had Bill Pearl back there, and Mickey Hargitay, Reg Park, and Steve Reeves. They were the guest speakers, and they were honored throughout that weekend, so I made a documentary on that. That was very special, that occasion.
What year was that? And then, was that in 2000?
That was in Birmingham, 1998.
Oh, 98, okay.
Yeah, 98, and that was organized by Ivan Dunbar, who was then the chairman of NABBA.
Okay.
And then I made a 50-year history of NABBA, the NABBA universe, which I updated into a 60-year history.
Wow.
And that's a two DVD set. That tells the full history of NABBA as seen through the eyes of Ivan Dunbar and other people. And he talks a lot about Arnold and his impressions of Arnold, and that's fascinating stuff because he had Arnold come to Ireland as guest poser for him on a number of occasions. So we've got the 60 years history of NABBA available for those who want to see the whole picture, because with Ivan, he talks in detail about the people that everybody knows, from Lou Ferrigno, Frank Zane, Arnold, of course, and then the British champions. So that's just a little bit of contribution that I've left to keep the history of the NABBA universe alive for forever and for future generations to refer to.
And what is your website, Wayne, where people can buy this?
Okay, well, you can go to either website. There's the gmvbodybuilding.com.
Okay.
That's the website. There's the DVDs and the downloads. Or you can go to my history website where I have all the records of everything, and that's www.gmv.com.au. And that's where I've got all of the universe history in particular stored. And then one site links to the other. So you can search for anything on either site. And we will make the 60-year history of NABBA, which is a two DVD set, we'll make that into a download in the near future so that people can just download it instantly to their own laptops or computers and watch that history, because it's a wonderful story. And Ivan Dunbar, who tells the story, he was at every universe from 1948 up until the time he passed away.
Wow. What year did he pass away?
Well, I'm going to guess it was around about 10 years ago. I've got the exact date, but just from the top of my head, I'd say about 10 or so years ago that he passed. So he's had an incredible history and an incredible memory to tell the story of the universe. It's not his universe, it's his story as seen through his eyes, because the NABBA universe belongs to, well, all of the fans and all of the competitors and the officials that have made it such a great contest over the years.
Yeah, that's great that you got to talk to him before he passed away.
Yeah, very lucky.
All right, Wayne, well, thank you again for joining us on the Bodybuilding Legends Show. We will talk to you soon about part two, and we'll continue our history recollection of all the NABBA Mr. Universe competitions.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you for highlighting the NABBA history, because it certainly deserves to be talked about, highlighted, and preserved.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Wayne, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
All right, thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we were talking about the NABBA Mr. Universe. Thanks to our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring the show. And we will see you guys next week with another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. We'll see you then. Take care.